forever. Dog.
Do not go gentle into that good night.
Poetry, I feel, is a tyrannical discipline.
I was trying to tell a story.
The book came to me in a sort of a haze.
This is how to write a good short story.
No hope, just booze and madness.
Everyone in the world has gone to bed one night or another with fear.
I saw the best minds of my generation destroyed by madness.
Now, lend me your ears.
Hello, dear beloved listeners, and welcome to Literati, the greatest podcast in the entire world that, if I'm being honest, it's pretty much like a child to me.
And yeah, for me, it's something even more valuable than a child. It's like a precious diamond that I could sell for a lot of money. That's what this podcast is like for me.
I love that. You know, Literati is a podcast about books, but isn't it really a podcast about life? About love? About death and sex and plagiarism and falling asleep while driving and just listen to me, I'm rambling, Colin.
Michael, it's okay. It's okay. We all grieve in our own ways. Hi, everyone. We're your hosts, Colin and Michael. And God, it feels so weird to be doing an intro like this, just carrying on as if it's a normal day and not the end of the world. Which it is for us.
It is the end of the world. Yeah. Now, you're probably asking, what makes us qualified to host a podcast about books? Well, I wrote a sequel to Moby Dick where the gang gets back together for another epic boat ride. And this time they're going after an even bigger, even whiter whale that represents even more stuff. And guess what? The book fucking rocks.
Wow. And I'm Colin. And one time I fell asleep while driving and crashed my car into a library. But fortunately, no one was hurt, except for the librarian and a couple of bookworms. And of course, by bookworms, I mean children.
And now it's time for the bad news.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's with the deepest of regrets and hearts filled with sorrow that we'd like to inform you that this is the last episode of Literati.
Yeah.
And we just want to take a moment to let you know that it's your fault.
Yes, dear sweet listeners, our loyal family of devoted followers, the blame falls solely on your heads.
Yep.
Maybe if you'd shared this podcast with your friends and family or sent out a mass email spamming everyone you work with.
I mean, maybe even just played an episode out loud on your phone while commuting on mass transit. That might have done the trick.
Maybe.
But sadly, you were just too lazy and selfish to get the word out about our comedy podcast about books where comedians come on as authors.
Not famous authors.
No, very rarely. As famous authors, just like silly names, and then they read the things they wrote.
As a joke. They wrote it as a joke.
Right. They wrote it as a joke, but they did write it.
Yeah.
And then they read it and were kind of nice and kind of mean to them. That top shelf podcast idea just didn't take.
But to be fair, you are not the only ones to blame. There are other people, clearly, who bear ownership of Literati. And yes. Of course, I'm talking about Forever Dog.
Yeah, at the end of the day, we clearly didn't care if no one was listening, but the big wigs at Forever Dog Inc., up in their Times Square, Ivory Tower media conglomerate, they were obsessed with listeners and followers and an audience, and they constantly told us that we had to sex up the show.
I can't count the number of times that we got emails from them telling us to be more lewd or drop the book stuff and get to the sucking and fucking or show more skin.
It was gross. I always found that confusing in particular because podcasts are primarily an audio medium.
Yeah.
And apparently we weren't dressing scantily enough to seduce the world. But we refused to degrade ourselves like that. And instead, we wanted to focus on the important and highbrow goal that we'd set for ourselves. Making half-assed jokes about books we had not read.
Yeah, but all that being said, we are thrilled at this exciting opportunity for exploring new chapters in our lives. And we encourage you to patronize all other Forever Dog podcasts as we wander the new media landscape as starving pariahs, unable to feed our children or our diamonds.
So with that being said, we still have what, like 50 minutes to fill?
Yeah, maybe okay. more. Yeah, like closer to 50.
I kind of said everything I had to say. Should we just get bitter?
Yeah, let's get real bitter. You know what? Speaking of the sexing up thing, they did make us do an episode nude one time, which I thought was totally uncalled for.
And they wouldn't give us chairs, so we were just standing in the middle of the room with the microphones, not where you'd expect them to be.
Yeah. So
it was strange. And I was like, you know what? I'll do it for the podcast if it helps the numbers. We recorded the whole thing. They didn't even release that one.
Yeah. They said it was clearly an error in judgment.
They said one of their cameras melted, which was weird. I don't know what was going on with that.
Yeah.
And then it was also weird because they had cameras.
Yeah. But it's also like the footage didn't sync up with the audio.
Now that I'm thinking of it, I don't think those were Forever Dog people. Like, it wasn't the main guys that I know or any of the main producers, Tracy or Emma. It wasn't
them. It was at our apartment.
Yeah.
And they set up cameras all over the house.
And it came from Craigslist.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's weird. Why is Forever Dog now reaching out to us from Craigslist?
Yeah.
But hey, we would do anything to help the podcast. Yeah. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. We've laid it all on the line for you.
And I guess, you know, obviously we're bitter and pretty pissed off. But that being said, I'm also so grateful for this journey.
Oh, yeah. I am furious and just fuming. But so grateful.
Yeah.
So grateful.
And I feel a calm in my heart.
Yeah. Because it's like this journey we went on, it was great. Even though it felt a little bit like they had us wander out into the desert.
Oh, like
that kind of like journey.
Like Moses leading the Jews through the desert.
But then they just like left us out in the desert of thing. Yeah.
To be fair, we were the ones who we saw the desert and we were like, that looks good to us.
Yeah.
Now, Colin, I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, the origins. Not everybody knows how Literati started.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think they'd kill us if we got a little nostalgic? Just took some time for us and took a trip down old memory lane.
I don't think they could hold it against us.
Oh, God. I mean, it was what? 30 years ago?
Yeah, about 30. God, yeah, 30 years ago we started this podcast.
And we started because I was a radio DJ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Wolf Boy, Bark Bark.
I was Wolf Boy, Bark Bark. And I was on WBUR. It was a pretty popular station. And I had what they call the graveyard shift.
Yeah. Yes. And where was this again?
This was in, do you know Pittsburgh?
Yes.
This was a small town outside of Pittsburgh called Schittsburg. And so it was not a big listener set, but I had to come in with the graveyard shift from 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. and I had to play Static.
Oh, okay. Not Static X, the band, just actual Static.
I could not play music.
Okay.
That was the one rule, but somebody had to keep the Static going. A lot of people think Static just happens. That's not true.
Nope.
They have vinyl records full of Static, and somebody has to spin those.
And you'd still have to, like, time the lead-in just right. You know how, you know, they'll talk for, like, the 20 seconds of guitar riffing before the singing starts?
Exactly. So I'd say, this is Wolf Boy Bark Bark coming to you live on WBUR, the snake. It would slowly be fading up. And that was where I kind of learned that I had a very, very amazing voice. And Colin, of course, you were also doing something at that radio station, but it was a little bit different than being a DJ.
Yes, that's right. I was, I guess it was like a janitor, but for just the roof of the building.
Yeah. You were a... I guess there's not a term for that, but you had to clean up and fix just the roof.
Yeah, it's a lot of like cleaning the gutters and stuff. And
whenever a bird would die on the roof, you would have to go up there and get rid of the body.
The owner of the station was a animal lover. They said that I had to perform like full funeral services for all those birds. So I would.
That's a lot of time.
It was a lot of time because I had to go like deep into the woods and
sure.
Yeah. And I would dig.
Because you can't go in somebody's backyard. You can't. You have to go to area that's okay to put a corpse.
Yeah, and out of respect for the animals, I had to. The grave still had to be 6 feet deep. So this took a lot of time.
Wow, that's a lot
for a bird.
A 6 foot deep, 1 foot wide hole.
Yep.
That's. I mean, I don't even know how you dig that.
Yeah. So a lot of time spent burying birds.
And Colin, how would you then do the like eulogy or the service? Because I'm guessing you didn't know a lot about the birds.
No, I didn't. I you know, it was a lot of guesswork. You know, I'm not going to lie. There was some repeat stuff, you know.
Sure, you would like find something that worked.
Yeah,
and
a lot
again.
Of like, you know, they loved the sky and they, you know, they're soaring up with the angels now. Like there's a lot of repeat stuff, you know.
Yeah, just like exactly angel type work. Yeah. Birds are the angels of the earth.
Yeah.
And angels are the birds of heaven.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So that sounds like a shitty job.
Yeah, it was very bad. But then I did, you know, I started working for you.
Yeah, of course.
And I was the one who had to go find the records that had the static.
Yeah, you were also my chair.
I was your chair. But then I guess we just, you know, I wasn't on-air talent at first, but you and I kind of developed a rapport. Just one day you like started talking to me.
Well, I was choking on a cherry seed.
Oh, that's right.
I was choking on a cherry seed because you know how a lot of people, they tie cherry stems into a knot with their tongue to impress hot singles at parties.
Yeah.
Well, I was like, oh, you think it's impressive with a stem? Wait till I do it with a cherry pit.
Yeah.
So I was trying to tie that into a knot and I choked pretty bad. And you had to come and herk me. I think it's called herking.
Yep.
And herk me back to life.
Yeah. I had to give you a medical herk.
Yep.
And
you saved my life.
I did. And
but also, since you weren't a doctor, I was able to sue you for malpractice.
Yeah, which is how you came into your fortune. And that was coincidentally about the time where my life started going horribly wrong.
Interesting. And at that same point, there was obviously WBUR was part of the larger Schittsburg Community College network. And we would wander from, you know, 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. because we weren't allowed to interact with the students or be there when any living person was there.
Yeah.
We could go into the morgue anytime we wanted, but we could not be around the living people. And we could wander around the halls and we found there was a chalkboard with an equation on it.
Yes. Oh, yes.
That nobody could solve.
Yeah.
And we walked by it one night and it just suddenly clicked for us. We saw it and we were like, oh my God, this makes so much sense. Especially, I think your janitorial skills, a lot of people didn't think you'd know what to do. And we just walked up and erased the equation. Yep.
And we're like, now there's so much more space for doodling.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's not a problem anymore.
Yeah.
How do you solve a problem? You just get rid of it.
Yeah, it's similar to the, you know, if a tree falls in the woods, does anyone hear it?
Right.
If you erase.
Which, by the way, the answer is no.
Yeah, no.
There's no one there. Yeah. So how could they hear it?
Yeah, prove me wrong. Yeah.
Easy.
But similarly, if you erase an equation from the board, does it cease to be a problem? Yes.
Yes, it does. Yeah. Again, another big philosophical question solved by us.
Which is part of why Michael and I famously hate philosophy.
Not into it.
Yeah. They're these just like dumb
roundabout. I don't like ambiguity.
No.
I like certainty.
Yeah.
That's why we enjoy fiction literature.
Yep.
And so it was around that time that we were wandering these halls and we basically one day we were in a classroom and we had misjudged the time and it was 8:01 and class was going to start and it was an English lit class and we would have both gotten fired if we were around a living human being. So we hid and they had little cubbies and we hid in a cubby.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live. At the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug and I love drinking my wine.
And we accidentally...
These were cubbies for college students, yes.
College students got to put... Well, again, the Schittsburg U class is not doing great. They need a lot of help.
They were classes for mixed ages. So there were actually some preschoolers and some like 25-year-old adults.
It was through post-grad.
Yeah.
It was pre-K through post-grad. Yeah. And so we were in that cubby and we accidentally learned.
Yeah. And we tried to avoid this our whole lives.
And had been pretty successful.
Yeah.
And that day we became intellectual elites and coastal liberal bigwigs. And
that was the day it happened.
And we started using our static hour. It was called the static block. And we started kind of talking about the books that we were reading. And we started talking about the books that we were writing and developing this rapport. And then, you know, we developed a big following, and then Forever Dog, we had a meeting with them. At that time, I think they were in the Virgin Records Tower.
Yes, yeah.
Which is in L.A. Is mm-hmm. that the big one that's there? Or am I thinking of Empire Records? Or the Virgin Tower?
I do not know.
Anyway, somebody, there was some virgin around, and we went into a big...
And they had an empire.
They had an empire. Maybe I'm thinking of Richard Branson. And they brought us in. And I don't know if you've ever seen like a musical biopic.
Oh, sure. Yeah. They're Ray, Walk the Line, exactly. Bohemian Rhapsody. Yeah.
Rocket Man.
Yes. Yeah.
Very there's popular. Always a point where there's an artist who's out there doing it on their own, and then they meet a record producer who the movie never says it explicitly, but they're evil. And they offer them like, hey, come do the corporate gig.
Yeah. And compromise your values and stuff. And so that was Forever Dog for us.
And I mean, again, we love Forever Dog, but sure. You can't get a more corporate buttoned up, like, you know, they are going for mass mainstream comedy podcasts. It's not, it's not, you know, out in Brooklyn doing the weird comedy stuff.
No.
Finding people who are doing cool things and giving their voice a platform.
It's all about the bottom line, money for these Forever Dog people.
And I mean, I think that reflects in their programming. Yeah. But we were like, maybe we can do it differently. And for the past few years, we really have. Because as a lot of people don't know, we were the first Forever Dog podcast. And then we went on a 2-year hiatus. And then we came back. We did about 30 episodes. And now we're done forever.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, so many people have followed a similar path.
Yeah.
Where you get in on the ground floor with a company. You decide to take a break.
You let them get big.
Yeah. And then you,
then you come back.
You come back you can't garner a following and then you're done. Yeah.
I'm waiting for the Beatles to put out a new album.
Yeah.
Because they've been taking that long break.
Yeah. And speaking of, you know, not garnering a following, like, you know, they were... saying we had how many listeners? 200 to 300?
200 to 300 listeners per episode, which is
so
pretty huge compared to how many people are here in the studio.
Yeah, and see, the thing I don't get is if we're getting 200 to 300,000 listeners, what are some of these hit podcasts getting? You know?
It seems like the numbers are too huge to fathom.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hey, 200 to 300,000 listeners an episode, I'll take it, but... You know, what are you going to do? You got to get up in the millions, I guess. Now, sadly, since this podcast is over, Colin and I don't work in a linear way. We're not people who say, okay, I got an episode tomorrow. Here's what we'll do. We're fountains. You know, you ever see a fountain of water, chocolate, or cheese? That's like us, but with ideas. And these fountains are flowing, and so are we.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we have...
And we only, like a water fountain, we only flow when people push our buttons.
And also like a water fountain, we're full of pennies.
Yeah.
So we have all of these ideas. We pretty much had the next 6 years mapped out of the Literati podcast, and pretty much scripted. A lot of people don't know, but everything is scripted for this podcast, even this right now that we're reading.
Yeah. This, and also we've done about... Oh, man, we've done about 4 to 5 different takes for, like, each chunk,
for
too.
For each chunk. Even the stuff about the, like, Virgin Tower Records.
Yeah.
I think it was Capitol Records was what I was thinking of. Even that was intentional.
Yeah, because Michael got it right the first time, and we're like, no, you got to get it wrong so that you can remember later what the correct building was. And so then,
And then it becomes satisfying when we sum it up in a bit right now.
Yeah.
So anyway, we just wanted to give you a quick look at some of the amazing things that we were going to get to that now our audience will miss out on.
Yeah, this is a shame. We're sorry. You're never going to get to hear this on the podcast.
And we're just going through some of the many, many things. So, here's one. We're going to do a whole episode about this. How to write a book without any characters or plot. And this is tough because a lot of people say it can't be done. But Colin and I know how.
Yeah, that just someone saying it can't be done fuels the fire. Yep. It makes us want to do it more. You tell us we can't do a podcast anymore, we're not leaving. Yeah, yeah. We're going to keep doing it.
And we might actually stay in this studio try to kick us out.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, maybe we will stay. Yeah. And you can't tell us no if we are living here.
Yep.
It's called squatter's rights. And again, if you hear anything in the background, that is intentional. Okay, so yeah, you're like, oh, how can you write a book without characters or plot? I can tell you. Maybe set it in a terrarium 6,000 years after all the humans have died.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Thank you.
Yeah. Why can't a book just be all of, setting a scene? Just 300 pages of setting a scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just is the beginning. You're getting to it. And then the book's over.
Yeah.
And that makes you think, oh, what could have been? Mm. What was here that I didn't even realize that I missed because it wasn't there?
Yeah. So here's another idea of something that we were going to do on the podcast, but you'll never get to hear. Coffee shops that let you use the bathroom without buying anything.
This is huge for writers.
Yes.
You're going to have tough periods. We're going to call them skinny periods where the money is not flowing in. So you don't have $3.50 to spend on a flat white.
Yeah. You can't get a $4.50 oat milk latte, so this I guess this idea was just going to be tricks on how to save money.
Yeah,
this whole episode was
just going to be listing the coffee shops that won't either charge you or won't notice if you just go in and use the bathroom.
Here's the trick: if it's a small coffee shop where they can see you from, where the barista can see you from every corner of the room, that's not a good coffee shop to go to.
If it's a two-story Starbucks, you're probably going to have a lot of luck. So, that's pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here's another one. Again, this a whole episode, maybe even two or three episodes on this. Facebook, useless time suck, or the perfect site to help you start brainstorming writing ideas when you can't think of anything?
Okay.
The answer might surprise you.
I think you can, everyone's always posting about their lives on Facebook, so that's great ideas for characters.
And if it's on Facebook, no one owns it.
Exactly.
So you can take that status and turn that into a young adult children's series.
Someone
says, oh, I'm so sad my husband was murdered. Ooh. Give it a like first, be polite, and then go,
you'd be surprised how many, first give it a like.
Of course. That shows, okay, I saw this, I liked it, that's giving credit.
Yeah.
And then go, ooh, I think I can write a book about this.
Yeah, because really, Facebook, I like to look at it like a writer's room, where it's like, everyone's just thrown out ideas, but no one owns anything.
That's true.
Yeah.
Again, just one more amazing thing that we were so excited to talk about, but now we'll be lost in the sands of time.
Never get the chance. You know what, Michael? I know this one. This is going to break your heart. We were really looking forward to doing this one.
Yes.
How to move back in with your parents. And now this was going to be a 63-part docuseries.
We actually hired a crew. We had Ken's Burns, and he was going to show up and follow us around as we slowly moved back in with our parents.
Yeah, we sunk a lot of money into that because we filmed it.
We edited it.
Yep.
And we were just doing Foley sound for it.
Yeah.
We were kind of fit, like there was a part where Colin slips in mud and we were like, okay, well, how do we get that sound again? And it was me punching pudding. and now I guess we just stopped doing that.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a shame.
But you know what? That's an important one. Every writer would need to hear some kind of guide on how to move back in with your parents.
Because you think you're the first one to have to do it, and there's shame involved with it. You're not alone. We all move back in with our parents.
Some of us, many times. I moved back in with my grandparents.
Yeah.
Because my parents, I failed there as well.
Yeah.
I moved in with my parents. I got a job at the grocery store. I got fired for letting all the fruit go bad. And my parents said, we can't afford to let you live here anymore. So I had to move in with their parents.
Yeah. Luckily, your grandparents, they're suffering from pretty bad memory loss. So they didn't remember that you'd already lived with them.
I just
before.
Have to introduce myself every day.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Yeah, it's fine. I can do that.
Yeah.
Here's another great thing. This was going to be a really exciting topic. Movies. Are they books too? They're better.
We were going to have a whole episode on why movies are better than books, which, I mean, come on, we're not telling any tales out of school there.
That was actually going to be a short episode. Yeah. We had a round table of 12 different professors. Leonard Maltin was going to come in. We had the guys who did who wrote Game of Thrones, the D.B. Weiss or whatever they are. We had, of course, Jonathan Franz in. Mm-hmm. We were going to get Maya Angelou, all these very exciting writers and film people just to say, for the last time, movies are better.
Yeah. We were just going to go one by one down around the table. You all get to say if you think movies are better than books. And then that was the end of the episode.
Boom. Done. Easy.
Yep. Never going to hear it. Here's another thing we were going to do. Ugh, this is a shame. We were going to rank the 100 greatest novels of all time based on fuckability.
Our fans have been asking us for a long time, rank the 100 greatest books of all time. Give us your list. Give us your top 100 list.
Yeah, but we're like, okay, but in terms of fuckability.
Sure.
Is in which we mean, which book could you fuck? Scientifically. So this was there's scientific value.
We're not letting our emotions take hold here and say like, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. That seems like a book I could fuck. No, we were going to do the test, do the work.
And we're not going for cheap jokes like Moby Dick. Okay,
grow up.
No, we are going to.
I'm so sick of that. I'm glad that we never made a Moby Dick penis joke on this podcast.
Me too, yeah.
We could have.
Prove us wrong. Go back and check the episodes. If we ever made one,
just share that episode with hashtag Save Literati. Here's another great thing that we can't do anymore. Collaborative writing, or how to not share your work, which basically, like, Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman did this a lot. There, anytime you see a book with two authors, somebody didn't show up and the other person basically wrote a book.
It's basically like the school project thing where, like, you know, the cool kid, you're teamed up with like someone for a school project, but they're the
Joel
cool
McIntyre
kid. Yeah. And so then you end up doing all the work because you want to get a good grade, but they're not showing up. They're not doing the work. That's what this is happening. This is what's going on here.
Exactly.
Yeah. So here's another one. Another episode we were going to do, childhood writing heroes who are now just old weirdos you can message on Twitter.
More of them than you'd think.
Yeah.
A lot of people who you were like, grew up thinking, wow, this person's a legend or the greatest writer of all time. Now they're just some old person you can message on Twitter.
Yep.
And they will probably respond.
Yeah. Some of them have done our live shows.
One of them. R.L. Stine. He lives too far away to come and do the podcast, and now we'll never get to have him on. But he said he wanted to.
Yeah.
And that's true.
And he...
And we have a video of him doing the live show, which maybe if we had put that out on Twitter, it would have gone viral and people would have...
Or just done the audio of that one.
Oh, that could have been a good podcast. Should we cancel this one and do that instead?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that could be the thing that saves literature. And it's so... Michael mentioned it before. It's so flattering that someone started the hashtag Save Literati.
That's so flattering.
So flattering.
And I'm glad that no one can trace that back to any specific IP.
Yeah.
Okay, here's another great thing that we're going to dive into. An episode where we find J.D. Salinger and beat the shit out of him in the middle of the street.
Yeah. Sort of like a punked type of thing.
Yeah.
You know?
He's like, oh, I'm a recluse. No one can find me. Yeah, well, we might be able to fucking find you.
Yeah, you're a recluse. We're going to wreck you.
That's very good, Colin. High five. Great. That rocked. And then bring us on home with this last one.
All right. And the final episode we wish we could do, never going to get a chance to do, pencil versus pen. The great debate part two, which one tastes better. Now,
I have so many strong feelings about
this. And if you remember in season one, Michael and I did a debate on pencils versus pen. This is the rematch, the taste test.
Mm. Yeah. And let me tell you, I've been practicing. Yep. I have been eating so many of both just to get ready. But
my
you know,
guts are full of ink right now.
Alas, what are you going to do?
I ate all those lead pencils for nothing.
No, not for nothing, Colin. You ate them to learn.
I'm and stronger now, for it.
And you're ready to write because when you spit graphite.
Yeah.
You spit lead.
Yeah.
You bleed ink, quite literally.
Yeah. And I said I'm stronger for it, but physically I'm weaker for it. But
yeah.
Mentally stronger.
Yeah, that's true.
So those are just some episodes that we'll never get a chance to do, and it's really sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now what I'm wondering is, Colin, should we maybe reach out to some of the people who have been near and dear to this show and just sort of break the news to them? Because this is, for you listeners, this is the first time you're hearing this. Should we tell people and maybe see if they're...
Yeah.
I wonder who
our friends don't
that.
Even know, and it's... I mean, this is like telling someone you have a terminal illness or something.
Yeah,
like,
or
this
worse. Is,
yeah.
Because a podcast is over.
This is really like... I just don't know how some people are going to take it.
I mean,
like,
it's potentially really scary.
I mean, like, we might listen to some dear friends crying on air and just weeping for us and what we're losing.
What do you think? Who do you think we should reach out to?
Wow.
I mean,
you think we should?
I've got so many numbers of so many people.
Do you want to try? I mean, we've tried some people that we've called before, like
Becky Matt Rogers. Sure. I mean, maybe we just try with Matt Rogers
first. Should we try calling other Forever Talk podcasts?
I think we should start, and let's just see if he picks up. Let's just say we haven't talked in a long time. And let's just see what happens.
He's going to be devastated.
I know, he's going to be devastated. And if he doesn't pick up, we'll leave him a really good message.
Yeah.
Hi, you've reached Matt Rogers. Oh. Leave me a quick message and I'll get right back to you.
Okay. Oh, wow. I mean, he said he's going to get right back, so maybe he'll get back to us.
That's true. He'll probably get back to us right away. Hang up or press 1 for more options. Hi, Matt. It's Michael Wolff and Colin O'Brien.
Yeah, hey, Matt.
We are in the middle of recording the last ever episode of the Literati podcast for the Forever Dog Network, and as a past guest on the podcast, we just knew that we knew that you would be, you know, devastated that the podcast is not continuing on, and we just wanted to reach out during the recording and personally let you know and give you a chance to just sort of respond.
We were hoping you'd pick up because we wanted to tell you in person.
You know, we just would also love advice on what's next for us, and maybe if you could pull any strings here at Forever Dog. Just, you know, technically this is the last episode, so as we're speaking this, it's all over. But any sort of hashtag would just be greatly appreciated. But mostly we just want to let you know and let you know that our heart is with you.
Yeah, and we thought of a hashtag save Literati, but we don't really have much of a Twitter presence. So
anyway,
if you could get that started, that'd be
great.
I
know we've never talked on the phone, but just call me back as soon as you can. Bye. Ah, sad.
Wow. I mean, I guess the only thing is he'll be able to grieve without fear of, like, you know, having to do it in front of us sort of thing.
That's
you know, he can grieve in his own way.
That's
privately.
True. Yeah, we'll let him privately grieve. Who else should we call? Maybe somebody who's been on it more recently.
Yeah, I mean, should we call, we could call Mark Vigent.
Yeah, I guess we'll call Mark Vigent, the Code Lord. Oh, let's give him a quick call.
Oh, boy. It's going to be absolutely devastated.
Hey, you've reached Mark. it went
right to voicemail.
Please leave a message and I'll get back to you.
Okay, let's keep this short.
Okay.
At the tone, please record your message.
This is good podcasting.
Yeah.
You may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, Mark, it's Michael and Colin.
Yeah, hey, Mark.
Just letting you know that the Forever Dog podcast, Literati, which Colin and I host, is officially done as of this podcast, which you and your voicemail are on. We were just reaching out to kind of give you a moment to grieve publicly.
Yeah, we wanted to break it. We wanted to call you and tell you, you know,
we wanted to do this in person because we know how much our podcast means to you. This was the podcast where you first discovered you wanted to do comedy, and then also that you liked doing computer stuff. So we just wanted to tell you in person, and then we forgot to. So we are doing it now live on the podcast. So call us back. Bye. Yeah. Okay, you know what? I feel like calling our friends and having it go straight to voicemail doesn't make me feel better. So what I would like to do is call some people.
We can also try calling friends later on in the podcast if
let's
we feel like
let's call them later. Yeah, but right now, let's call Penguin Random House and just sort of let them know, because I know they've been following us. And we'll just see. We'll see what they have to say. And I also think that they're probably looking for a lot of cool new media. Like podcasts.
Well, yeah, print media is dying, so I mean, this could be good. This is a
Thanks
good
opportunity. Calling the Penguin Random House consumer line.
Okay.
Our office is now closed.
What the fuck?
Please call back during regular.
Wait, maybe there's a voicemail.
Yeah, maybe.
Thank you for calling Penguin.
Random oh, there isn't.
Oh,
fuck.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. Well, I mean, I hate to do this because they're my number two choice, but I'm going to HarperCollins. Okay. And this is going to be a good chunk of the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. HarperCollins. They better pick up.
And also, have they published any books recently that you want to, like...
I have not looked into that.
I have... Wanna,
no, I
like,
haven't checked.
Really?
Okay, it's ringing a lot.
Thank you for calling. Our office is currently closed.
What the fuck?
Our regular business hours are Monday to Friday.
It's 8:48 p.m. This is New York, the city that never sleeps.
Yeah.
They're going to have a voicemail.
Wow.
I got to say, the voicemail, outgoing voicemail for HarperCollins is so cheap sounding.
Yeah.
That I wouldn't want to have my podcast hosted by that publishing company.
No. And you know what? This is just bullshit.
This is bullshit.
They won't pick up. They won't talk to us. It's like this feels like censorship.
It does. So we're going to have to go a little bit lower and call Barnes & Noble, the one on Court Street here in New York. And then we'll get...
And less page turning with the new Nook Glow Light Plus, our largest e-ink reader to date, with exclusive Barnes & Noble audio content and the highest Nook resolution for crisp text.
And we can cut all this.
Members save 10% on all Nook devices and accessories.
This is just an ad
for the Nook.
For the Nook. That can't be your outgoing message.
We are open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Okay, they're open.
10 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Okay, here,
here we go. Here we go.
Nice.
Barnes & Noble Court Street.
Hi, my name's Michael Wolf, and I host a podcast called Literati. And it's basically, it's a podcast where we have comedians come on and read author readings as the authors. And it's sort of like a funny take on sort of literature. And so we are wondering if this is something that Barnes & Noble would be interested in as a new podcast series.
This Barnes & Noble, particularly Barnes & Noble Court Street, is
sure.
We do not have an event space.
Oh.
We don't host events.
Okay. Well, what if we just did it in, you know, my apartment on my Mac laptop and we sent you the files and you could put it up on your website or Twitter? I don't know if Barnes & Noble has like a Twitter.
We do, but that is actually all handled through our corporate office.
Okay.
Not through the individual branches.
Got it. So I'm calling the wrong number.
You want to be in touch with the Barnes & Noble home office.
Okay, I would love that number.
I don't have one for like external use. Hang on just a second.
Before you do that, would it change your mind if I told you that our podcast currently has 200 to 300 listeners?
It doesn't because it's still not my department.
Okay. Well, you know what? I appreciate it.
Personally, may listen to it.
No. Oh, okay. Well, I love Barnes & Noble. Thank you so much. I'll try again later, but thank you for your time. Bye.
So you said she's going to listen to it.
Yeah, that's
pretty
good.
Another
listener, baby!
If we get up to 301 listeners, I mean, that's got to be enough to save
us. We didn't get a specific number, so that's got to tip the scales.
Well, okay, so then fine. If it's 201 to 301 listeners now, like... That's
and she didn't say no. She just said wrong department.
Yeah.
And so, that's also the note that I've kind of been getting my whole life.
Yeah, it seems like people just want us to leave.
Yeah.
And
well,
they just
move to a different department.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Well, that felt good.
Yeah. I'm glad we got through to someone.
Yeah. It was nice to connect. And she sounded awesome.
Yeah.
Man. Well,
man, our newest fan.
Well, Colin, I know we don't want to spend the rest of this time being bitter. Is there anything else that you kind of wanted to talk about?
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, this is our last time to talk to our 200 to 300 listeners.
301.
Yeah. I'd love to, you know, I don't want to spend it all being bitter. I want to use this platform to give them some, you know, parting words of wisdom.
Oh,
you know,
that's beautiful.
You know,
I love that.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Because
Colin and I, what have we done for all low these 60 episodes? We've taken nuggets from the ground that we found and we've shared them with the world. We've said, this is a priceless thing that we've learned about writing. Here it is to you for free.
Yeah. So, yeah, I want to just do that. I want our parting gift to our listeners is just these words of wisdom.
Hold them dear.
Yeah. And so I would say, I guess one thing I would like to say to our listeners is write what you know, unless what you know fucking sucks.
True.
In that case, make up some cool ass shit. People have short attention spans these days, so if all you know is giving your cat her eye drops and putting flaxseed in your oatmeal and not having sex in over a year and a half, then fucking spice it up.
True. Write what you know, but if what you know sucks, make something up.
Exactly.
That's great. Yeah, you know, I love that. I've got something I want to say. Never write a main character into your novel who is smarter than you are.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just not sustainable and you won't be able to keep up. That's why whenever I have characters in my stories, they don't have more than a fourth grade education, which is pretty much why I only write children's books.
Oh, right. That's why? That's why you do that?
Okay. One of the main reasons.
Okay.
The Encyclopedia Brown series, that was like the thing that kind of was beyond what I could ever do. It was about kids, but it was about smart kids. Yeah. And I knew that's not for me. Also, I would say that if you describe yourself as not much of a reader, maybe don't have a comedy podcast where the entire premise hinges on your character being a pretentious, overeducated literary type, and don't turn it into a monthly show that you end up doing for like 4 years and then spin it into a weekly podcast where you only get to do about 60 episodes, except you're out of your depth and out of ideas, and do something else, for Christ's sake.
Just do something else.
Like water colors.
Yeah, exactly. Paint by numbers, that sort of thing.
Fun.
I would say another piece of advice, dear writers, dear listeners, understand that you have control over some things and other things you have no control over at all. For instance, you have no control over whether or not a publishing house chooses to publish your novel. You do have control over what you write. Maybe something like a kick-ass action spy thriller series called Kung Fu Colin. You know, something like that.
I like that.
And again, you have no control over whether or not you get sued by DreamWorks for plagiarizing their hit animated film Kung Fu Panda.
No control.
No control. You do have control, though, over making a slight adjustment to your novel to avoid legal action that would financially ruin you, and agreeing to rename your novel Karate Boy.
Now, there you go.
One final example.
Sure.
You have no control over whether or not you're now being sued by the Karate Kid franchise. On top of that, DreamWorks is resuming legal action because in making tweaks to your original novel, you now decided to give Karate Boy a sidekick that just so happens to be a talking panda who knows kung fu.
No control.
No control. But you do have control over how you fake your own death to avoid being sued. You also have control over where you start over your new life and what new name you go by. And finally, you still have control over your new book series idea entitled Punch Man.
Colin, I do have some bad news.
Yeah?
This is true. Do you know that there's a very popular anime series called One Punch Man?
Oh, fuck.
This is 100% true.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
It's popular.
Christ.
It's very funny.
Oh, fuck.
So that might be
I'm going to have to start over again.
You know what? I've got words of wisdom, not for you, Colin Hoon. I'd say for you, move to Arkansas.
Okay.
But for our listeners, literati's not just about writing tips and the craft of writing. It's about motivation, and it's about just doing it. You can't wait for anyone to give you permission to be a writer. You just have to do it and go for it. So to any aspiring authors and people thinking about becoming a professional writer, we here at Literati want to say, go for it. And remember, it's never too late to follow your dreams, unless you're over the age of 35.
Yeah.
At that point, I'd say maybe just don't bother. You know, learn to be happy with what you've got and, I don't know, you know, wait it out. Death will come to take you away soon enough, so hang tight.
Yeah, that's good advice.
But if you're under 35, go for your dreams.
Yeah, follow your dreams. Ugh, no beautiful. Mountain too high. And finally, just some parting words of wisdom. We here at Literati just want to give you a list of professions that are jobs with the most job security.
Oh, sure. This is useful.
Yeah. So, Michael, I guess we can trade off. Sure. You know, there's a dentist.
Nurse practitioner.
Physician's assistant.
Respiratory therapist.
Database administrator.
Actuary.
Statistician.
Podcaster. Oh, no, sorry.
No, yeah.
Occupational therapy aide.
So that's just a list of careers with the most job security. Do with that what you will.
Yeah, they're not going to be recession-proof. People are always going to need them, though, and they pay well. It might not be glamorous, but you have a nice life to yourself. Now, I do see that the sun is setting, and that means that it's almost time for us to close this book. But every good book needs an ending. You know, the beginning of a book is important, but so is the ending. And I think what a better way to end the Literati book than by sharing some words that we've written.
Oh, yeah. I would love nothing more. We have all these guests reading words that they've written. Why don't we get to...
How often is it that we get to share?
Exactly.
I mean, honestly, I've been nervous.
Yeah.
I talk a big talk, but I sometimes thought, am I more of a those who can't do teach person?
Yeah.
Maybe. I'm nervous. I hope I can do. I hope I can write.
I don't want to talk just a big talk and walk a small walk. I want to walk a big walk.
I want to walk a big walk.
So I guess let's do that, Michael. Let's, do you mind if I, yeah.
You want to go first?
I'll go first.
Please.
And I just want to say before I read this poem, you know, it's sure it's a bit sad to be leaving Forever Dog, but you know what? I'm looking at this as an opportunity.
This is the first step of a new journey. This is the first page of a new book.
And I'm excited.
Yeah.
Okay. What does the world hold for me?
Yeah.
What does the world hold for us?
Mm.
We can do anything now.
Truly.
And I'm excited. I look
boundless
at this.
Possibilities.
Oh, so great. So this, with that in mind, I wrote this poem and it's called Hollywood Ending or Into the Great Wide Open by Colin Michael O'Brien. Please don't let me go. Please don't let me go. Please don't let me go. This is my home. I want to stay. Please don't let me go. I will be good. I will obey. Please don't let me go. I am an old dog, but I can learn new tricks. Please don't let me go. It's cold out there. I will get sick. Please don't let me go. What can I do? I will do it. I can be better. Let me prove it. I'll be faster, funnier, stronger, smarter. If it takes hard work, I'll work 10 times harder. I can be likable and effervescent. I can get more likes on my social media presence. I can sell mattresses. I can sell meal prep kits. I will sell anything. I will fucking sell drugs to kids. I'm begging on hands and knees, though our listenership won't grow. Please don't let me go. Please don't let me go. Please don't let me go. I want to be one of the big dogs, but I am just a pup. The dog house has been torn down and all the doggy doors are shut. I've whimpered and whined, but the end is coming faster. So if you must, go ahead and put me out to pasture. As we say goodbye, teary-eyed, I see the pistol in your hand. There's nothing left to do, no need for one last stand. Destiny is calling, so if you see my mother, tell her. They were a forever dog, and I am just old Yeller.
Wow. That was really beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, it took a lot. I felt like I was bearing my soul a little bit.
What was that
there.
About?
I don't know, just a bunch of words. I mean, poetry's so stupid.
Yeah, so stupid. I
so,
loved it.
So, just
you
so
had
easy,
a really good strict rhyme scheme too that I love.
Yeah.
I don't know,
it's just words. You know,
what I saw you in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what's important.
Yeah. Do you have anything you'd like to share?
I do. This poem's called A Wounded Sparrow by Michael John Wolfe. Betrayal. Getting stabbed in the back by someone you thought was your real friend. I'm so sick of fake people. Talking about you, Alex and Joe. You didn't even come to my birthday party this year, which, to be fair, never ended up happening because I just got super busy with a ton of stuff. And then when I did have free time, I just like wanted to chill, you know? But still, you could have gotten me something, like an iPad Pro or an iPad Air Mini each. Anyway, where was I? Oh yeah, betrayed. Like a sick dog in the street getting kicked. even though he did nothing wrong. And if he knew that was your kid, he never would have bit it, probably. What else? What else? I'm just processing, though. Processing through writing. It's what writers do. We take pain and make it into art. Also, note to self while I'm writing, pick up oat milk on the way home.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you.
I can't believe, is this based on truth, I'm assuming. I can't believe they didn't they didn't show up to your birthday that you didn't have.
Well, still, that doesn't excuse them for not showing up or not throwing me a birthday party.
Yeah.
And Alex apparently lives in L.A. now. I mean, sorry, Joe does. I mean, I can't keep it straight.
Yeah.
Who's here? Who's gone? It's crazy.
Yeah. Someone went Hollywood.
Oh, brother.
Oh, boy. I guess I have one more poem.
I think we have time for just one.
Okay. So this is this poem is entitled Getting Some Tough News by Colin Michael O'Brien. Oh, fuck. This stinks. So, yeah, that's
amazing. Yeah. That's really, really good.
Yeah.
I like that. There was so much there in just that short amount of words.
Yeah. Did you have anything else you wanted to read?
No, I just wanted to say that we will not ever leave this studio.
Yeah.
And we're refusing to leave until that Forever Dog goes back on the until Forever Dog lets Literati back on the air.
Yeah.
So we're doing a sit-in and we're not going to go.
Yep. So I guess we'll just...
Good luck. Good luck getting us out of here.
Yeah.
Because we're taking over the airwaves and we can talk all night.
Yeah. And I think that the hashtag Save Literati...
Let me check on Twitter.
It's trending, I would assume.
Yeah, let me check. Save Literati. Oh, my computer just died. So that's not a good sign.
Hmm.
As soon as I had full battery and then I typed that in and it died.
Wow.
But you know what? We're going to stay here. We are holding Forever Dog hostage all night, all week if we have to.
Yeah. We're not leaving.
So. What did you want to talk about?
Is there anyone else we want to call to break the news to?
My phone is also dead. And I pretty much ran through my contacts there.
Wow. You had four contacts, Barnes & Noble.
HarperCollins, Penguin Random House, Mark, and Matt Rogers.
Five contacts.
That's five contacts.
Oh, wow. Well, that's all you're allowed unless you pay for like premium on
the, I have, these. This is a Metro PCS burner phone. Yeah.
What else? What else? What else?
Oh, you know what? It is. It is getting kind of late, and I have to pick up laundry.
What time is it?
It's 9:04.
Oh shit. Yeah, I'm also, my roommates and I were supposed to like just have a house meeting.
Just like a chat?
Yeah. Nothing big. Just sort of check in sort of thing. But I mean, like, you know.
Well, I mean, I don't have to get the laundry, but I love when I pick it up and it's warm and I can just sort of like hug it tight. That feels like the closest thing I have to happiness.
Do you think maybe Emma, our producer and sound engineer, would you like take care of the sit-in while Michael and I leave?
Okay, she's nodding yes.
Cool.
So if we go and we do our errands, and honestly, if I'm doing my errands, I'm doing laundry, I probably won't make it back tonight, but I'll come in first thing tomorrow morning and we'll resume the sit-in.
Yeah, because I didn't get a good night's sleep last night. So I'd like to get a good night's sleep before I start
the
sit-in.
I'm going to take melatonin tonight and just really come in tomorrow strong.
So then you'll let us back in to continue the sit-in.
Great.
Promise? You'll be loyal to us, not Forever Dog.
Okay,
great.
That's
okay.
A yes.
Great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And that's the end of that chapter.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.